Hello and welcome to Speak the Words, a Cosmere podcast. I'm Sean.
And I'm Mango.
This is a podcast where we are slowly but surely working our way through the story of the Stormlight Archive, the Cosmere as a whole as well. We are now starting Edge Dancer, which is exciting. The little novella that sits right in between Words of Radiance and Oathbringer.
That is so essential.
It is. She's a main character.
Really?
Lift? Oh, Lift? Lift is a main character, yeah.
Why didn't we meet her before now?
Mega, there's going to be 10 books. sometimes it takes... And, you know, to be fair, we were supposed to meet her before now, but we skipped the interlude where we were supposed to meet her because I decided to just do it.
Yeah, but we have interludes with characters that do not matter. How are we supposed to know that she matters?
Because after her one interlude, she got a whole novella.
Well, how are, before the novella, were we supposed to know that she matters?
No, not really. I don't mind telling you that she matters. She got a whole novella. I'm about to recite to you a whole book about her. So,
okay, what book was it that you told me that wasn't essential for us to even read?
Was it related to Stormlight?
I think so. It was Cosmere.
Oh, if it's just Cosmere in general, it was probably Elantris.
Yes.
Elantris. Elantris is on a different planet.
Oh, so it doesn't matter.
No. They reference some stuff from it in Stormlight, but it's set on a different planet. It doesn't matter for the yet. I don't know. Ask me in 2 years when I read Stormlight 5.
I'll ask you in 25 years when the Cosmere is mostly done.
Yeah, when Stormlight 10 rolls around and the main character of Elantris is like fighting alongside whoever, and whoever's still alive in that book, who knows? This book is titled Edge Dancer. I'm going to give you the cover now. That is the cover of the book Edge Dancer. I just posted it in our general chat.
It looks like wings.
It does look like wings a little bit. So that symbol is the symbol of the Edge Dancers.
Which is one of the...
Orders of Knights Radiant, yeah.
Yeah.
My little fun facts that I like to do at the beginning of each book. This book was released on November 22nd, 2016. So this was a little over 2.5 years after Words of Radiance. It is 272 pages.
Oh my god, that was 7 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. It was around 40,000 words. It has 20 chapters.
Very small.
Yes, it's very small.
I could probably read that in like a day.
I did read it in a day. I'm just going to jump in, starting with the prologue. It has Lift's symbol, which I will send to you now. That is Lift's symbol, her chapter symbol. You know she's important because she has her own chapter symbol.
We know she's important because she has her own book.
Yeah, yeah. But even her chapter symbol appears in Words of Radiance as well. So that would have been a clue during her interlude that she's going to matter, because the interlude characters that don't have their own chapter symbols don't tend to matter as much.
And she got her own chapter symbol.
Yes, yes.
And it was the only chapter in the entire book that had that symbol.
Yes, yes. She's important.
Oh, okay.
We're starting with the prologue, which is actually that interlude from Words of Radiance. It starts, Lift had never robbed a palace before. Seemed like a dangerous thing to try. Not because she might get caught, but because once you robbed a starving palace, where did you go next? Lift and six other thieves climb over a wall of the Bronze Palace in Aesir. They intend to rob it while a new prime, the leader of Aesir, is being chosen by the viziers, the court.
What? Where's Aesir?
Aesir, let me bring up the map again and send it to you.
And actually, what's the name of the capital of Alethkar?
Kolinar.
Oh, so like Kolin.
Yes, like Kolin.
Okay.
If you look at the map that I sent you, Aesir is pretty far to the west. Not quite as far as Shinovar.
Past a bunch of mountains.
Yeah, yeah. Past the Horneater Peaks. Past Yakaved. I think... Hang on, let me look at the Oathbringer map really quick. Map of Roshar from Oathbringer. Because... it will have Yurithiru marked on it, because you know where it is now. Oh no, I'm taking a lot of time to do something I hadn't planned to, and I can't find where Yurithiru is on this map. Oathbringer interior art. Because I think Yurithiru is near... near... Yes, okay. Here, I'm going to, you're just going to see this again in a few weeks, but this is the map from the front of Oathbringer. Yurithiru is right in the center of that mountain range near Aesir.
But there's a portal from...
from the Shattered Plains.
Which are...
all the way to the east. There's also, Dalinar said at the end of Words of Radiance, a portal in Kolinar. He recognizes the, like, the platform. He'd seen it in Kolinar.
So there's portals all around that are not to an alternate plane of existence, but they're just to, like, a mountain.
They're into, they teleport you to the mountain in the center, pretty near the center of Roshar.
So Yurithiru isn't, like, on another plane of existence.
Nope.
It's just another place.
It's just up in the mountains. Really high up in the mountains, but up in the mountains regardless.
Fun. Okay. So, that means that if Kaladin really wanted to.
Yeah. Oh, and that's what we'll pick back up with him in Oathbringer, of course. But literally, he's just going to fly there. That's his plan. Is he's just going to jump off of Yurithiru and lash himself back towards Alethkar and fly back to Hearthstone, where he's from.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he's not, like, taking the portal back.
No, he's going to... well, I think he is going to take the portal back to the Shattered Plains because it's a little closer and fly from there. But he could just jump from the tower if he wanted to.
But it would take a few days.
It would take longer because it's farther from Alethkar than the Shattered Plains is.
I mean, technically, he could probably... how fast could you go if you, like, lash yourself a bunch of times?
Uncertain. Probably pretty fast, but it would take a whole lot of Stormlight.
Each
lap you put on is more and more Stormlight, so you'd burn
Brandon,
through a lot
of it really
quickly.
How fast could you go? Could he go Mach? Like, Mach 1, Mach 2?
Well, his body would still have, like, responses to it. As he flies more
Stormlight
throughout the series, they'll get into, like, G-forces and shit that are still apply to him. It still applies to him. He can knock himself out while flying.
That doesn't make him stop flying.
No, it doesn't. You're right.
Oh, that's true. So if he knocks out and then flies too far, then...
yeah. And eventually he'll run out of Stormlight and fall.
Is this the only continent?
So it is a supercontinent, yes. As far as Sanderson has told us, there's nothing else on Roshar. But Lift spots Darkness, or Nail, as we now know him from the ending of Words of Radiance when he met with Zeth, spots Nail walking the streets leading to the palace and assumes that he's there for her.
She knows who he is?
Yeah, she implies that she has had run-ins with him before.
Oh.
As the boys started climbing, a thin, twisting trail of vines grew out of the darkness and approached the Lift. Here and there, bits of clear crystal peeked out of the vines. The vines grew super fast, curling about one another in a tangle that formed a face. "Mistress," the face said, "is this wise?" "Hello, Voidbringer," Lift said. "I am not a Voidbringer, and you know it. Just stop saying that." Lift grinned. "You're my pet Voidbringer, and no lies are going to change that. I got you captured. No stealing souls now. We ain't here for souls. Just a little thievery. The type would never hurt nobody." The vine face, he called himself Wendell, sighed. Wendell grew up to her, leaving a small trail of vines that people didn't seem to be able to see. The vines hardened after a few moments of sitting, then they crumbled to dust. "I'm a Spren," Wendell said to her.
I was literally about to say that.
"Proud and noble, hush," Lift said. Some of the thieves put on fancy outfits and go to where the important people will be. Lift recalls that the last two Azish primes had been killed by Zeth and that the last one hadn't even lasted 2 days. "You realize that I didn't choose you," Wendell said. "I wanted to pick a distinguished Irialli matron, a grandmother, an accomplished gardener. But no, the ring said we should choose you. She has visited the old magic, they said. Our mother has blessed her, they said. She will be young and we can mold her, they said. Well, they don't have to put up with..." "Shut it, Voidbringer," Lift hissed, "or I'll bathe in blessed water and go listen to the priest. Maybe get an exorcism." She looked up the side of the wall. It bulged out just above her. "All right," she whispered to Wendell, "you gotta do what I say." "I do not." "Sure you do. I captured you, just like in the stories. I came to you. Your powers come from me. Do you even listen to..." "Up the wall," Lift said. Wendell sighed, but obeyed. Lift hopped up, grabbing the small handholds made by the vine. Wendell wove ahead of her, making a ladder of sorts. She climbed to the top. "We need to Voidbring that," she said, pointing at the window. "Have you realized," Wendell said, "that while you claim to be a master thief, I do all of the work in this relationship? You do all the complaining, too. How do we get through this? You have the seeds? She pulled out a handful of seeds. I can't affect the physical realm except in minor ways. This means that you will need to use investiture to... Lift yawned. Use investiture to... She yawned wider. Starven Voidbringers never could catch a hint. Wendell sighed. Spread the seeds on the frame. She did so. Your bond to me grants two primary classes of ability. The first, manipulation of friction, you've already... Don't yawn at me! Discovered. We have been using that well for many weeks now, and it is time for you to learn the second, the power of growth. You aren't ready for what was once known as regrowth, the healing of... Lift pressed her hand against the seeds, then summoned her awesomeness. She wasn't sure how she did it. She just did. It had started
okay,
right
I take it back. When... Maybe I would like this character.
It had started right around when Wendell had first appeared. He hadn't talked then. She kind of missed those days. Her hand glowed faintly with white light. The seeds that saw the light started to grow. Fast. Vines burst from the seeds and wormed into the cracks between the window and its frame. The vines grew at her will. The glass cracked, then the window frame popped open. Lift grinned. Well done, Wendell said. We'll make an edge dancer out of you yet. Her stomach grumbled. When had she last eaten? She'd used a lot of her awesomeness practicing earlier. She probably should have stolen something to eat. She wasn't quite so awesome when she was hungry. She slipped inside the window. Having a Voidbringer was useful, though she wasn't completely sure her powers came from him. That seemed the sort of thing a Voidbringer would lie about. She had captured him, fair and square. She'd used words. One of the thieves says they are there to steal clothes, which aren't well guarded but will sell for a lot. Lift disobeys him and wanders the palace with the thieves' nephew, Gox, accompanying her. Gox tells her that when a prime dies, everyone is allowed to fill out paperwork to apply to take his place. You also have to fill out an essay. Then the viziers choose which is best and name them prime. Gox says that the prime belongs to the people and you can enter a lottery to see him throughout his day. Gox had seen him sleeping once and knew where the prime's quarters were. Lift says she wants to go there and Gox is confused since there won't be much there except food. I'm going to eat their dinner, she said, soft but intense. Gox blinked, startled. You're... what? I'm going to eat their food. Rich folk have the best food. But there might be spheres in the vizier's quarters. Nah, I'd just spend them on food. She heads towards the prime's chambers, while he goes towards the vizier's quarters to find spheres. Wendell asks why they had even gone on the heist if Lift just wanted to eat the food. She says that she wants to be there in case something goes wrong and that not enough people care anymore about, like, the little people. Lift finds the prime's quarters, but two guards stand outside it. Wendell grows into handholds for her to climb over them. Why don't they notice you? Lift whispered. Is it cause only the pure in heart can see you? You're not serious. Sure, that fit into legends and stories and stuff. Oh, the theory itself isn't ridiculous, merely the idea that you consider yourself to be pure in heart. I'm pure, Lift whispered. I'm a child and stuff. I'm so storming pure I practically belch rainbows. They can't see me, Wendell said, because I exist mostly in the cognitive realm, even though I've moved my consciousness to this realm. I can make myself visible to anyone should I desire, though it's not easy for me. Other Spren are more skilled at it, while some have the opposite trouble. Of course, no matter how I manifest, nobody can touch me, as I barely have any substance in this realm. Nobody but me, Lift whispered. You shouldn't be able to either. What did you ask for when you visited my mother? Lift didn't have to answer that, not to a storming Voidbringer. She eventually reached the end of the hallway. Another guard ran over and began talking to the other two. He alerts them to a thief ransacking the vizier's quarters, and the three run off. Lift dropped down, looked inside the door, and saw men and women standing at a table. She slipped inside, then became awesome. She ducked down, kicked herself forward, and for a moment, the floor had no purchase on her. She glided as if on ice, making no noise as she slid. Nothing could hold her when she got slick like this. Fingers would slip off her, and she could glide forever. She didn't think she'd ever stop unless she turned off the awesomeness. She'd slide all the way to the storming ocean itself. She stopped herself under the table using her fingers, which weren't slick, then removed the slickness from her legs. Her stomach growled in complaint. She needed food. Real fast, and no more awesomeness for her. Somehow you are partly in the cognitive realm, Wendell said. It is the only answer I can find as to why you can touch Spren, and you can metabolize food directly into Stormlight. She shrugged. He was always saying words like those, trying to confuse her, starving Voidbringer. That food was in here somewhere. She could smell it. But why? Why did she give you this incredible talent? And she is capitalized. Why a child? There are soldiers, grand kings, incredible scholars among humankind. Instead, she chose you. Food, food, food. Smelled great. The men and women up above were talking in very concerned voices. The different viziers are trying to their best to pawn off the job of prime on each other by saying that their own essays are terrible.
Wendell Wait, so along. None of them want to be leader because the last two were killed?
Yeah.
Nice.
Wendell moved along beside Lyft. Mother has given up on your kind. I can feel it. She doesn't care any longer. Now that he's gone. And he is also capitalized. The viziers want to stick a poor commoner with the job of prime, but feel they still have a duty to pick a competent leader. Even though they'll probably end up dead within a few days. Lyft reached the end of the table and looked out at a banquet. Huh, Lyft thought. Someone scratched a face off of that painting. Who'd ruin a painting like that, and such a fine one? The heralds all in a row? Well, nobody seemed to be touching that feast. Her stomach growled, but she waited for a distraction. It came soon after. The door opened, likely the guards coming to report about the thief they'd found. Poor Gox. She'd have to go break him out later. So, that... painting reference.
Who yeah, would no, scratch out a face. I understand.
So since this was supposed to be in Words of Radiance, this counts as her appearance in Words of Radiance or her reference in Words of Radiance. Obviously, you didn't get it during the actual book because we skipped this prologue, but she gets referenced a lot throughout the books, and this was her reference for Words of Radiance.
Do we ever actually meet her?
Read and find out. Or listen and find out. Lyft slides across the floor and under the food table, then grabs a dinner roll and starts eating it. The room goes quiet, and when she peeks over the table, she sees Nail standing in the room. What is the meaning of this? Demanded one of the viziers. I am here, Darkness said, for a thief. Do you realize where you are? How dare you interrupt? I have, Darkness said, the proper forms. He spoke completely without emotion. One of his minions entered behind him, a man in a black and silver uniform. He offered a neat stack of papers to his master. Forms are all well and good, the vizier said, but this is not the time, constable, for Lyft bolted. She tore a hunk off the roll with her teeth. She was going to need the food. She slammed open the door, dashing through. Something swung from the shadows on the other side. A cudgel took her in the chest. Ribs cracked. Lyft gasped, dropping face first to the floor. Another of Darkness's minions stepped from the shadows inside the bedroom. Even the chaotic, Darkness said, can be predictable with proper study. Lyft gritted her teeth, curled up on the floor. The few bites she'd taken earlier worked within her. She felt the familiar feeling, like a storm in her veins. Liquid awesomeness. The pain faded from her chest as she healed. Darkness stepped up close. She leaped to her hands and knees. He seized her by the shoulder, but she could escape that. She summoned her awesomeness. Darkness thrust something toward her. The little animal was like a Kremlin, but with wings. The creature sucked the awesomeness from Lyft. She actually saw it go, a glistening whiteness that streamed from her to the little animal. It opened its mouth, drinking it in. Suddenly, Lyft felt very tired and very, very hungry. So this creature that he just used to do that is a Larkin, which is the little animal that was given to Risen by the island in her earlier interlude. In this book, we talked about this. It's the kind of shape that the bones make on the herald or in the surges chart. The double eye of the Almighty. It can absorb other people's stormlight. And if you remember,
like that,
the Reshi people at the island said that there were none. That the one that that Risen got from the island was the first in, like, a long, long, long time.
Darkness yeah, well, I'm pretty sure Nail has been at this for a while.
Yeah, well, yeah, Nail's been doing this for a bit. Darkness handed the animal to one of his minions, who made it vanish into a black sack. Keep all spheres from her, Darkness said. She must not be allowed to invest. Lyft felt terror. She struggled, thrashing, biting at the hand that held her. Darkness didn't even grunt. He hauled her to her feet, and another minion took her by the arms. Darkness turned to the viziers. I will trouble you no further. Mistress, Wendell said. Here! The half-eaten roll lay on the floor. Lyft struggles to get to the roll while the lead vizier questions Darkness on why he has paperwork for the execution of a child. Darkness has all his legal papers in order, however, and intimidates the vizier into standing down. Darkness pulled open the door. Mistress, Wendell said. Oh dear, there is something very wrong with that man. He is not right, not right at all. You must use your powers. Trying, Lyft said. You've let yourself grow too thin. Not good. You always use up the excess. Low body fat? That might be the problem. I don't know how this works. Darkness hesitated beside the door. Lift struggles desperately to get free, and eventually the head vizier takes pity on her and knocks a table into one of the guards. Lift gets free for a second before being captured again. "What was that?" Darkness asked. "I slipped," the vizier said. "Watch yourself." "Is that a threat, Constable? I am beyond your reach." "Nobody is beyond my reach." Lift managed to get a half-eaten roll during the distraction and is chewing on it when Nail looks at her. The act confuses him as they begin to depart from the palace, his underlings going ahead of them to move any spheres out of their path so Lift cannot absorb any stormlight. They run into Gox on their way out of the palace, who has been caught by guards and is being beaten. They assume that Lift is working with Gox, but Darkness tells them that she isn't their concern. Something stirred inside of Lift, like the little swirls of wind at the advent of a storm. Darkness looked at her with a sharp motion. Something is... awesomeness returned. Lift became slick. She yanked her arm, then kicked herself forward and fell to her knees, sliding under Darkness's hand as he reached for her. She skimmed the floor of the palace hallway, knees sliding across it as if it were greased. The posture wasn't particularly dignified. She got going real fast, real quick. So fast it was hard to control herself as she relaxed her awesomeness and tried to leap to her feet. She crashed into the wall at the end of the hallway instead. She came out of it with a grin. That had gone way better than the last few times she'd tried this. Her first attempt had been super embarrassing. She'd been so slick she hadn't even been able to stay on her knees. Lift looks behind and sees Nail running after her, glowing with stormlight. She was already growing hungry again, not having gotten much light from the roll. Nail chases her through a kitchen, holding a shard blade now, and Lift manages to grab a sausage as she escapes the room. "What has become of me?" Windle asked. "Thieving in the night, chased by abominations? I was a gardener, a wonderful gardener. Cryptics and Honorsbrenn alike came to see the crystals I grew from the mines of your world. Now this? What have I become?" "A whiner," Lift said. "Nonsense. So you were always one of those then?" Lift continues to search the palace for a window to escape through, and stumbles across one of Nail's minions who is also holding a shard blade. She gets away from him and barely dodges a swing from Darkness as she slides away. "Who are these men?" Windle asked. "Why do they care so much about you? There's something about those weapons they carry." "Shard blades," Lift said, "worth a whole kingdom, built to kill Voidbringers. And they had two of the things. Crazy." "Built to kill Voidbringers?" "You," she said. "They're after you." "What? Of course they aren't." "They are. Don't worry. You're mine. I won't let them have you." "That's endearingly loyal, and not a little insulting, but they are not after." The second of Darkness's minions stepped out into the hallway ahead of her. He held Gox. He had a knife to the young man's throat. Lift stumbled to a halt. "Don't move," the minion said, "or I will kill him." "Starving bastard," Lift said. "That's dirty." Darkness thumped up behind her, the other minion joining him. They penned her in. Gox was crying. Poor fool. Well, this sort of thing never ended well. Lift went with her gut and called the minion's bluff by dashing forward. He was a lawman type. Wouldn't kill a captive in cold. The minion slit Gox's throat.
Oh.
The minion dropped him, then stumbled back as if startled by what he'd done. Lift froze. Darkness grabbed her from behind. "That was poorly done," Darkness said to the minion. "You will be punished." "But," the minion said, "I had to do as I threatened." "You have not done the proper paperwork in this kingdom to kill that child," Darkness said. "Aren't we above their laws?" Darkness actually let go of her, striding over to slap the minion across the face. "Without the law, there is nothing. You will subject yourself to their rules and accept the dictates of justice. It is all we have, the only sure thing in this world." Lift stared at the dying boy, who held his hands to his neck as if to stop the blood flow. The other minion came up behind her. "Run," Windle said. She started. "Run!" Lift ran. She manages to get out a window and uses Windle to climb up the side of the palace onto the roof. One of the minions leaps out of the building, lands on the ground, and begins to search for her. "You barely knew him," Windle said. "Yet you mourn." She nodded. "You've seen much death. I know it. Aren't you accustomed to it?" She shook her head. She was free. The other thieves were climbing their wall and disappearing into the night. Who would cry for Gox? Nobody. He'd be forgotten. Abandoned. "Run," her instinct said. "Go!" "You spoke of something earlier," she whispered. Regrowth, he said. "Each bond grants power over two surges. You can influence how things grow." "Can I use this to help Gox?" "If you were better trained?" "Yes. As it stands, I doubt it. You aren't very strong, aren't very practiced, and he might be dead already." "Why do you care?" Windle asked again. He sounded curious, not a challenge, an attempt to understand. "Because someone has to." Lift enters the palace again and retraces her path to where Gox lied in a pool of blood, with the viziers and guards surrounding him. Lift crawled up to him. His body was still warm, but the blood seemed to have stopped flowing. His eyes were closed. Too late, she whispered. I don't know, Windle said. What do I do? I'm not sure. Mistress, the transition to your side was difficult and left holes in my memory. Even with the precautions my people took, I... She set Gox on his back, face towards the sky. He wasn't really anything to her, that was true. They'd barely just met, and he'd been a fool. She told him to go back. But this was who she was, who she had to be. I will remember those who have been forgotten. Lift leaned forward, touched her forehead to his, and breathed out. A shimmering something left her lips, a little cloud of glowing light. It hung in front of Gox's lips. It stirred, then drew in through his mouth. A hand took Lift by the shoulder, pulling her away from Gox. She sagged, suddenly exhausted. Darkness pulled her by the shoulder away from the crowd. Come, he said. Gox stirred. The viziers gasped. It appears that you are an edge dancer, Darkness said. I had wondered which of the two you would be. Miracle, one vizier said. Eäzir has spoken, said one of the scions. Edge dancer, Lift said. I don't know what that is. They were once a glorious order, Darkness said. Where you blunder, they were elegant things of beauty. They could ride the thinnest rope at speed, dance across rooftops, move through a battlefield like a ribbon on the wind. That sounds amazing. Yes, it is unfortunate they were always so concerned with small-minded things, while ignoring those of greater import. It appears you share their temperament. You have become one of them. I didn't mean to. I realize this. Why do you hunt me? In the name of justice. There are tons of people who do wrong things. You could have hunted big crime bosses, murderers. You chose me instead. Why? Others may be detestable, but they do not dabble in arts that could return desolation to this world. His words were so cold. What you are must be stopped. Lift felt numb. She tried to summon her awesomeness, but she'd used it all up. Darkness turned her and pushed her against the wall. Darkness knelt next to her. He held out his hand. I saved him, Lift said. I did something good, didn't I? Goodness is irrelevant, Darkness said. His shard blade dropped into his fingers. You don't even care, do you? No, he said. I don't. You should, she said. You should try it, I mean. I wanted to be like you once. Didn't work out. Wasn't even like being alive. Darkness raised his blade. Lift closed her eyes. She is pardoned! Darkness's grip on her shoulder tightened. Feeling completely drained, Lift forced her eyes to open. Gox stumbled to a stop beside them. Clothing bloodied, his eyes wide, Gox clutched a piece of paper in his hand. He thrust this at Darkness. I pardon this girl. Release her, Constable. Who are you, Darkness said, to do such a thing? I am the Prime Akasix, Gox declared, ruler of Aesir. Ridiculous. The Catasixes have spoken, said one of the scions. The heralds, Darkness said. They have done no such thing. You are mistaken. We have voted, said a vizier. This young man's application was the best. What application? Darkness said. He's a thief. He has performed the miracle of regrowth, said one of the older scions. He was dead and he returned. What better application could we ask for? A sign has been given, said the lead vizier. We have a prime who can survive the attacks of the One All White. Praise to Eäzir, Catasix of Kings. May he lead in wisdom. This youth is prime. He has been prime always. We have only now realized it, and beg his forgiveness for not seeing the truth sooner. As it always has been done, the elderly scion said, as it will be done again. Stand down, Constable. You have been given an order. Darkness studied Lift.
God.
She smiled tiredly. His shard blade vanished to mist. Praise Eäzir, he said, herald of kings. May he lead in wisdom, if he ever stops drooling. Darkness bowed to the new prime, then left with a sure step. Does anyone know the name of that constable, one of the viziers asked? When did we start letting officers of the law requisition shard blades? Gox knelt beside Lift. So you're an emperor or something now, she said? Yeah, I'm still confused. It seems I performed a miracle or something. Good for you, Lift said. Can I eat your dinner? And that is the end of the prologue. And that is all I had planned on covering today.
Oh, that was just the prologue?
That was just the prologue.
Oh my god.
But the prologue was the longest chapter of the whole book by so far. But yes, that was Nail being weird and interesting to me. I like Nail a lot, although I hate him.
She really just refuses to listen. Like, he's telling her important information, and she's like, no, don't care.
Windle? Yeah, yeah.
Unless it's relevant, Lift, don't care.
She does not care.
I don't care until something you told me earlier is relevant, and then... Hey, what was that you were telling me about again? Oh, so now you care.
How do you feel about Lyft after that prologue?
How old is Lyft?
12?
12 in Roshar or 12 in real life?
In Roshar.
Oh my god.
Lyft is a extremely fascinating character. And you'll see more of, like, why, you know, as we go.
That concerns me. We already have so many adults. Do we need children? Do we really need children? Do we need the child hero?
I will tell you, I don't think she's going to become super important until the back half.
Oh.
I think she's, like, she plays an important role in Oathbringer and, you know, she plays an important role going forward. Like, she's around. She will be brought up, which is why we're doing this. But she's not, like, she's not anywhere near the size of, like, even Zeth in terms of importance yet. Mm. But my assumption is that she will be a very important character in the back half.
Probably, because it takes place, like, 5 years after.
About 10 to 15, I think.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah. So, but there was some interesting stuff in this about she can touch her Spren.
Yeah, that's weird.
And Wendell posits that she exists half in the cognitive realm for some reason. And he says that she went to visit the old magic.
Yep, the Night Watcher.
He refers to she with a capital S and talks about how
the Night Watcher.
She has been disinterested in humanity since he has been gone, and he was also capitalized.
Okay, so the Almighty.
Well, yeah, he was the Almighty, but do you think he would capitalize she for another Spren, even if it is a very important one?
Well, I mean, the only person I know of that gives gifts randomly is the Night Watcher.
Mm-hmm.
So, sure. If she is a much more powerful Spren than he is, then yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we humans call other humans by more official titles.
They do mention that Azir hadn't got a new emperor at the end of Words of Radiance, so this does occur before the ending of Words of Radiance, obviously. Nail is not doing okay. But I think after this, you can start to kind of get an idea between Ash having this obsession with destroying art and Nail seemingly being obsessed with the law, with justice, what is right, not what is morally good. There's something going on with the Heralds. They are over the top in some of their convictions.
So he cares more about the law than justice, and she cares more about not being perceived in art than being remembered.
Yeah, she hates the depictions of themselves, and she particularly destroys her depictions of herself.
Is it because she doesn't like that they betrayed that people betrayed them, but then still try to honor them or something?
Yeah, I think that's it. But I think what is important to start to latch onto is that this is not a normal thing to be doing. These people are not okay. The Heralds.
It's been thousands of years.
Yes, they are. The Heralds are dealing with something that is not leaving them mentally stable. At the beginning.
Is it because Honor is dead, or is it because they haven't died and been regenerated in thousands of years, or is it...
Tone is also kind of insane right now.
Yeah, yeah, he is. So all of them are insane.
I think that it is... I think it's length-lived. I think they live too long. And it's messing with them. At the beginning of Words of Radiance, when Kalak and Nail are, Kalak is, you know, one of the other heralds, Kalak and Nail are in the palace and Yasna runs into them, she overhears Kalak say, "I'm worried about Ash." And then Nail says, "You're worried about everything." And then Kalak says, "She's getting worse. We weren't supposed to get worse. Am I getting worse? I think I feel worse."
So they're aware.
At least in some moments.
Or at least at one point they were aware.
Yeah. Kalak also says, "I don't like this. What we've done was wrong. That creature carries my lord's own blade. We shouldn't have let him keep it." Which is Zeth having Yezrian's honor blade. And Yezir is Yezrian in the Azish language. So when they're saying praise Yezir, they're talking about Yezrian. The king of heralds. And Nail says, and this is a line, I swear to God, it doesn't sound like a line that's important, but I'm going to read it again because it is. He says, "Praise Yezir, herald of kings, may he lead in wisdom if he ever stops drooling."
Is he asleep or is he like kind of dumb? Is he drooling as in dumb or drooling as in sleep?
You are on the right track with those. I'm not going to point out which one it is. I will be able to answer that question before the ending, but that question is answered by the end of what is released. I won't give you a specific time period when you'll get it answered, but I can explain more about this line based on what's already out. But just keep it in the back of your head that something is also wrong with Yezrian. Something
does
is wrong
the
with
Night
everybody.
Watcher's gifts, can they just be given or does something have to be taken?
It seems like from every example I can think of, something also has to be taken.
I don't mean directly from the person, but like, say for example, like, well, I guess Dalinar didn't specifically get his visions from seeing the Night Watcher, because other people get them too.
And the visions are from the Stormfather, not the Night Watcher.
Yeah, so. Well, if the visions aren't from the Night Watcher.
You will have.
And what did he lose from the Night Watcher?
You will. Oathbringer is Dalinar's flashbacks. You will find out.
Fun. And probably like him less.
I think it depends. I still love Dalinar, even though I acknowledge the awful things that he has done. I think you go through a real journey with Dalinar throughout the next book. That is
so. It's entirely valid for me to no longer like him.
If we were to come out Oathbringer, and you were like, "I fucking hate Dalinar, and I do not, I like, I hope he dies. I think he deserves to die for everything that happened." I'd be like, "Yeah, you're probably right." I think anybody who is absolutely disgusted by Dalinar and no longer wants to like read about him is valid in that. I disagree. I'm not to that extent, but there are definitely people that are. I've heard people that, like, after Oathbringer were like...
That makes me very worried about what he did in the past.
You will, you'll get an idea of it after the first flashback. The first flashback is insane. And I think the first flashback will be...
Even just
the
thinking about it is making me uncomfortable. Like, is it book-breaking for me?
I don't think so. But in my opinion, the Oathbringer flashbacks are the best in the series so far.
Character-wise or quality-wise?
Both. I think they're the best in the series so far. I think they're really impactful in a way that Kaladin's kind of are, and I think Shallan's aren't. And then I don't really like Eshonai's flashbacks in book 4. So, next week, what can I tease you with next week? Next week, Lyft is gonna continue to be Lyft.
Oh, what a teaser.
Lyft is going to make frustrating decisions because she's a little kid.
Yep, she's a little kid.
Is a frustrating character sometimes, and people don't like her. I think she's fine. That's everything. I don't have really anything to tease you with. All right, yeah, guys, thanks so much for listening. This is the new season. I hope you guys are excited for like what's going to be coming. If you guys want to follow us, we are on Twitter at Speak Stormlight. You guys can join our Discord. The Discord link to join is in the episode description. You guys can email us at speakthewordsasp@gmail.com. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Sean_AFK. And our cover art was made by our good friend Alex at Alex_BigBoy. There is a link in the description to them as well. This might put the fear of God in you, but Lyft will get flashbacks in the back half.